He's Jason Leisure. I'm Patrick Finley. Jason, as we sit here in the Soldier Field press box, the Bears are winners and they have a winning record for the first time in 711 days, something crazy like that. We will talk about how they got there and what Caleb Williams had to do with it coming up on Hallis Intrigue.
How do you come up with 711 days?
The last time they had a winning record was after week three of the 2022 season, Jason.
2022. So they beat the 49ers in the rain, and then I think they beat the Texans.
Texans at home to go 2-1.
Okay.
Wow. That's it. Anyway, the Bears sit here at 1-0 after escaping with a 24-17 win against the Titans. They it seemed like they were fighting their own offense most of the way and found a way to win behind one of the more bizarre stat lines you'll ever see. There's a defensive touchdown on a pick six, a punt block touchdown, and three field goals. Got it done. Caleb Williams did not. 14 for 29 for 93 yards. Had a passer rating of 55.7. I know we had talked earlier, Jason. Did you think Caleb was capable of this?
I didn't think Caleb Williams could play this poorly. So I assume, and to his credit, no turnovers. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could have been worse. But nope. The fact he didn't get to 100 yards, he didn't complete 100. I mean, he didn't complete 50% of his passes, and the aesthetic of his game. Just looking at it, we can get it a little more into some of his what he called miscues and misfires later. But I would have to assume that this would be the worst game Caleb Williams ever plays. And this would, in theory, Pat, for the Bears, this would be the most extreme manifestation of this formula that they're trying to go with this year, which is give Caleb Williams enough margin that he can struggle. He can kind of be figuring it out because there's enough talent on offense that he can be a little off and still pile up some yards, some points, because the guys you're throwing to are Swift and Keenan Allen and Kmet and Moore and Odunze. Like, you've got all this talent there, and then your defense, you know, hopefully keeps you to where 20 points, 17 points, maybe wins the game sometimes. This is extreme, though. This is where you're getting almost nothing at all from Caleb Williams. You're getting a ton everywhere else. That kind of, you can't count on that magic every week of Jonathan Owens scoop and score on a blocked punt, and Will Levis kind of swirling around in the backfield and then floating one out there to Tyreek Stevenson for a pick six. This is not something that is this barely got them by the Texans.
Yeah,
I mean the Titans. I'm sorry, which could be a bottom five
by the
team.
Way, same team. So I mean, just
bottom
franchise
five team in the league this year. The opponents are going to get tougher. Now, the good news for the Bears, in theory, is that Caleb Williams will be better.
Yep.
So you won't need as much of this.
Do you ever play badminton? You ever play badminton?
No, I've been entranced by it, though, on the Olympics sometimes. I remember turning it on the Olympics one year and being like, what is this? This is boring. And then the next thing I knew, I'd been watching it for like 3 hours.
Yeah, you know, there are two kinds of players. There's just people who do the big swing in tennis forehand the way I do. And then there are people who just run around doing the little flicky backhand. And the flicky backhand was the Will Levis throw. Yeah. As he tried to do the little badminton toss, amazingly it got from the hash toward the sideline and landed in Tyreek Stevenson's arms for the pick six. Jason, to your point, though, I'm sorry I got hung up on badminton for a second. But to your point, this is a luxury that most teams don't have when they have the number one overall pick. Most teams have the number one overall pick because their team is a garbage fire. The Bears, amazingly, don't have that sort of roster. They have a roster that's probably a lot better than their ninth worst finish last season. And when you've got a roster like that, sometimes you can steal games like this. And I think the outcome of the game is important. We've spent so many years now talking about, well, what is it, you know, besides the wins and losses? The wins and losses matter. This is a roster that is built to win today. This is a head coach that needs to show that he's up to the task. I can tell you this, at halftime, the Bears fans, I think, who had talked themselves up on Matt Eberflus being the right answer this year, were probably having second thoughts. And this is a division now with Jordan Love hurt for maybe a month, with J.J. McCarthy out, where the Bears can talk to you about a playoff appearance with a straight face, but all these things have to happen. Caleb's got to get better, and their margin needs to get slimmer or less slim for him. But the to walk away with a victory, I mean, what is it? In Matt Eberflus's career, he's won 10 times.
Yeah.
This is 11.
Yeah.
Like, let's not overlook the fact that the win's important too.
There are two things. That's one of them. There are two things that make this a lot more palatable than some similar action that you watched last year.
Right.
One is that they won the game. Mm-hmm. And they didn't do a lot of winning in Justin Fields' 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
There were not a lot of these where you could say, well, that didn't look great, but hey,
right.
A win's a win. They literally did say that today.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that this is a launch point. This is a starting point for the quarterback. As opposed to last year, we saw Justin Fields play some, you know, pretty unproductive games. I don't know if he had to have had one about this bad. But, this is not, he even was well above this. But there was this feeling that, I don't know how much better he can do than this.
Right.
With Caleb Williams, we're just at takeoff. We're just at the start of the runway. I think that he's going to play better as we go. Let's get into a little bit. Let's not get too bogged down in it. It's one game.
Can I jump in real quick before we move on? You're trying to transition. I'm going to stop you. The other thing is this. The benefit the last couple of years of the Bears losing was the potential that they draft a quarterback. No matter what they do this season, they're not drafting a quarterback, even if they end up with the number one pick but for some reason. So, whatever small fraction of Bears fans were excited by losses the last 2 years, that motivation goes out the window. Now on to your transition. Do you remember what you were transitioning?
One ugly game here for Caleb Williams where, as Patrick said, he's 14 of 29 for 93 yards.
Yep.
It doesn't negate everything you've seen to this point. It doesn't negate the talent that the Bears and the rest of the league, to be honest, fell in love with over the last two seasons at USC. It doesn't negate what you've seen in practice and in preseason games this year. It also doesn't derail what almost everybody, I would say, probably expects to still be a really bright future. But so I don't want to get too bogged down in it, but let's talk about what the problems were for him today. It's particularly problematic that he was, to me, that he was inaccurate as a thrower,
mm-hmm.
when that is his hallmark,
mm-hmm.
is that he's a very accurate thrower. He can put the ball exactly where he wants it, where it needs to be. He can throw guys open. Man, you haven't seen a Bears quarterback do that since, I don't know. He's got that ability. Today, I saw he threw behind guys. He threw behind guys over the middle. That he's very fortunate not to have thrown an interception on that. I believe it was Keenan Allen up the left sideline, wide open, completely overthrew him.
Yep.
There were a couple other overthrows today. Maybe he was a little too energetic. That's one issue, the accuracy. Let's talk about how fixable that is, because there's also kind of a mental mistake that I want to get into that I think maybe that goes away. I'm less worried about that. But how about the throwing accuracy today? How much of an issue is that for you?
To me, it's not one yet. I mean, his history shows that he's pretty darn accurate. You know, I'll add to your list with, he overthrew DeAndre Swift in the right flat on one play. And then on the next play, threw one behind Roma Dunze. It was like he had dialed it back, but had gone too far in the other direction. I'm not worried about it. I'm worried more about the protection issue. I don't think the Bears offensive line had a particularly good day. They only gave up 2 sacks, but the running was bad. 10 carries for Swift for 30 yards, and 20 of those yards came at the very end when they were salting the game away. They rotated Nate Davis, at guard with Ryan Bates. And Matt Eberflus said afterwards it was nothing that Nate Davis did in the game. They had been planning on doing that. But I think that shows you their level of excitement about Nate Davis, probably.
I think they're still a little skeptical.
Yeah, they are. And, I think the Titans on both lines are actually pretty good. But I don't think the Bears gave Caleb a whole lot of time to operate on certain plays. The other thing is what I liked in the preseason about what they did was that offensive coordinator Shane Waldron, to me, really did a good job of getting Caleb to move his feet, getting him outside the tackles, and doing what he does best, which is throwing on the run. There was less of that today, and when it was there, the Titans were waiting for them, And the only way to take that away is to run the ball well, because then you that defensive end can't just hang out outside.
The most glaring flaws in the roster right now, Patrick, are the offensive and defensive linemen. Those are things you would imagine would be top of their priority list next year with the three high draft picks that they have and with their cap space. But, man, did it show today, because they had a lot of trouble with DeVondre Sweat. They had a lot of trouble with who's the other really Simmons?
Yeah, Jeffrey Simmons. Yeah.
So, I mean, you look at just look at the running stats here. Look at the Bears at 3.8 yards per carry, and then on the other side of it, giving up 5.5.
Mm-hmm.
That's brutal. And Caleb was Caleb caught some of that too, because Caleb, as you alluded to, was scrambling quite a bit today.
It might be telling that I think the best throw he made all day was when he hit DJ Moore as he was running across or toward the sideline. And DJ Moore promptly got hurt when he got tackled along the sideline on the play. Another stat that I'll give you, Jason, is that, you know, not only did the Bears offense not score, but on the three field goal drives that they produced, they averaged 3 yards a play. That's by definition a three and out.
Two of those field goal drives, I think, started inside the Tennessee 40.
Yeah.
I think they averaged 24 yards per drive on their three scoring drives. The other play that was the other miscue, misfire, whatever he wants to use as the word for it, Caleb Williams, was I think it was in the first quarter, Patrick, they got down here to the 26-yard line of the Titans, mm-hmm. and he took an egregious 19-yard sack. I mean, I could understand if he couldn't get out of the sack and took maybe an 8-yard sack, mm-hmm. they'd still been in field goal range. They ended up getting to the 26 and not even being able to kick a field goal. They ended up punting at the end of that. That you can't do, and that I think is kind of a speed of the game issue that he will figure out as he goes. As far as the throwing accuracy, is it oversimplification for me to say, I wonder if it's just nerves?
No.
In his NFL debut?
No, and I mean, this is a guy who says that he doesn't get nervous before games. This may also be a guy who lies about whether or not he's nervous. You know, he seems really comfortable with himself, and he seems comfortable being vulnerable. But, yeah, I mean, I think it would affect anybody to be making their first NFL start. When you've been writing down your goal of playing in the NFL ever since you were a little kid, you'd have to be a robot to not be moved a little bit by it today. You know, it's the other thing that grabs me, if we want to talk about just accuracy here, is the easy throws should be to the tight ends and to the running backs. We didn't see the Bears with a lot of screens. We didn't see them with a lot of swing passes. Cole Kmet as a pass target was just a nothing. It was just, I think that they could give him some easier throws to help him out there, and they're going to have to. Can we get into just real quick just the passer rating stats and how
Caleb Williams?
Yes, and how he compares to previous quarterbacks?
So we know that in the last 20 years, who's the last guy? David Carr?
2002.
David Carr was the last number one overall pick to win. Just to win.
Yeah.
Stats aside, in his starting debut.
One of them tied. Can you imagine tying
your debut? 14-1, the number one picks. Caleb Williams is the first to win, and there's a reason for that.
Right.
There's a reason why those guys are 0-14-1 in the last 15 tries.
Because they go to bad teams. And if you're looking at passer rating now, his passer rating was the ninth worst among the 30 guys to make their debut since the merger. The guys who had a worse passer rating than him, John Elway, who had a zero, by the way, Matthew Stafford, Troy Aikman. Those are three of the eight in front of him. I'm sure the Bills would be thrilled, or the Bears would be thrilled with any of those. He is just the sixth guy to not get to 100 yards. In his debut, the people above him include Elway, Mike Vick, Terry Bradshaw, Alex Smith, and Steve Barkowski. So this doesn't preclude him from being a superstar. This is kind of more in common, or this is more common than not, is to go out and really not put together a great game.
But the outlier is that he got away with it.
Yeah, and the reason he got away with it is because he's on a halfway decent team.
If you look back, this is pretty consistent. I mean, even, you know, one of the guys who'd be on your list would be Peyton Manning, who threw three interceptions in his debut. I think Patrick Mahomes, who sat all season that year until the end.
He made his debut in week 17.
Didn't throw a touchdown pass
right
in that game. And if you want to just look to last year, Jordan Love had multiple seasons in the league and on the bench and in practice and watching Aaron Rodgers and everything. But his first full year as a starter, he came in and lit up the Bears in week one, but it was November, Pet,
right,
before Jordan Love really got going. It was halfway through the season. And that was a player with 3 years of experience. So Caleb Williams is going to need some time. I think where the perspective is difficult here is because we all know what you're saying.
Right.
We all know what you just laid out about how all these highly drafted quarterbacks, whether they're number one or number five or 10 or whatever, Justin Fields didn't step into a great situation here either, getting drafted 11th. Those guys usually picked at the top of the draft are coming onto bad, bad teams. And it takes a while. And we know all that. We know that it takes a while. But I think everyone has wanted to give Caleb Williams this little extra belief of he might not need that. He might be so good that it's not necessary. He has, for himself, set this goal of outpacing the incredible rookie season that C.J. Stroud had last year.
I was going to say, this is C.J. Stroud's fault. It really is. Is that, you know, if you look at, you know, and all of these first-round pick quarterbacks, kind of the rule of thumb was, you know, wake me up in year two and we'll see where they are. C.J. Stroud proved that he could almost single-handedly carry a middle-of-the-road roster.
They were bad? No, they weren't middle-of-the-road. They were horrible.
Well,
they were worse than the Bears.
They had two top five picks as rookies last year.
Did he light it up in his debut?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was all right. They lost that game 25-9, but C.J. Stroud's debut last year, 28 of 44, 242 yards.
Okay.
No touchdowns or interceptions. And he didn't light it up. He was okay. He was pretty good.
What do you do in week two, Jason?
Week two, 384 yards.
That would be in the top five of quarterback performances in the history of the Bears ever.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and the Bears will see him, obviously, next Sunday night. Before we go, Jason, I want to talk about some non-Caleb things that happened. Chief among them, Velus Jones.
Oh, yeah.
And poor Velus Jones. A guy who has struggled to catch the ball, to hold on to the ball, that prompted the Bears to move him from receiver to running back in, quite frankly, a last-ditch effort to get some value out of him. He's active on Sunday at the expense of Tyler Scott and Roschon Johnson.
Roschon Johnson, who not have a game designation.
Yeah, and so
injured.
The Bears put their trust in him. The first opportunity he has to return a kick, he manages to bobble it and then kick it 20 yards forward on the ground, and it's recovered by the Titans, who go ahead and kick a field goal. Puts the Bears down 10-0. Velus never gets to play kick returner again in this game.
Oh, no, probably ever.
And maybe ever. DeAndre Carter did a really good job, including a long return that set up the Bears' only score the first
half. His next chance, his very first opportunity, DeAndre Carter at kick returner today, 67-yard return.
Yeah, and, you know, if Velus runs that ball, I mean, he doesn't get caught. Velus, faster player, but boy, you got to catch the ball. They used him as a running back a couple of times. They used him on other special teams. Eberflus went out of his way to actually say, well, I'm proud that he hung in there and helped us in other ways.
Mm.
But boy, you'd...
I think he had one catch for 8 yards and two rushes for 11 yards. I talked to Velus Jones after the game, and it's kind of the same old story, Pet.
Yep.
And you and I talk about this on this podcast pretty often, that he's one of our favorite people
mm-hmm.
in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Super likable guy. He's our age. Relatable. No, but we really like Velus Jones, and we really want to see it work out for Velus Jones. And for him to be in there today, you know, I'm talking with him, and he's saying, you know, you just got to learn from your mistakes. You can't have the same mistake happen twice. We're way past twice, Velus.
Yeah.
We're way past twice. This is a player who fumbled the first time he ever got the ball in NFL competition, fumbling the kick off.
In Seattle.
In Seattle, yep. In his first preseason game. And Pat muffed a punt a couple weeks ago in Buffalo in a preseason game. In between those two, plenty of problems. Costing them a game here practically against the Commanders, muffing a punt against the Giants that same year.
Mm-hmm.
He can't be trusted.
Nope.
And it's something that they keep talking about. I have never understood why the Bears' position has always kind of been, well, yeah, you're right, Velus, you know, we can't trust him on punt returns, so we're going to go get Trent Taylor or DeAndre Carter or whoever else. But he's good on kick returns. And what Velus said today, very predictable, very much what you would expect someone to be the explanation for how something like that happens. Took his eye off the ball, started looking downfield for where he was going to go with it.
Mm-hmm. You know, the Bears' roster construction today was such that they kept Carter to return punts, they kept Velus to return kicks, and then they wound up with essentially three receivers. DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Roma
Dunsett. DeAndre Carter played a lot. I can't wait to see the snap count on DeAndre Carter on offense.
Well, and part of it, I mean, and that's twofold. One of them is that DJ Moore got hurt and Keenan Allen got hurt. And both of those guys needed a replacement. The other part was that the Bears went spread and no huddle in the second half, I think to try to give Caleb something that he's comfortable with. I think it was also to try to catch the Titans in the personnel that they wanted them to be in. When the Titans had their big defensive tackles in, they're pretty good. So on a obvious pass play, some of those guys come out, and then the Bears like that situation, so they keep going. You can't play that style of football with DeAndre Carter as your fourth receiver and your fifth receiver being nobody. I mean, as it is, your fifth receiver is probably Velus Jones.
There's Swift on some plays.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And that's – if you're going to keep Velus to return kicks and he does that to you, makes me wonder whether you can keep him on your active roster at all. I mean, even if you demote him and say DeAndre Carter's returning kicks now, is Velus worth it on the other kicking downs to be more valuable than Roshan, to be more valuable than Tyler Scott? I tend to think not. And that's something that the Bears are going to have to sort through this week.
I don't know what you can get out of Velus Jones if he's not a returner.
No.
I don't know how you could play him at returner again.
Yep.
How many times do you have to get bit by this to know not to play around with it?
I also would not trust him as a pass blocker either. And that's not a reflection of anything other than the fact he's been doing this for a month. And that pass blocking is hard.
And here's the thing, too. Just as kind of a criticism of Ryan Poles, this is all stuff we would have said yesterday, too.
Yep.
This is all stuff we would have said. This is all stuff we've been saying for months. This is what made it such a question mark keeping him when you had a trade offer on the table from somebody for something. Right. They've not specified that. Or maybe to cut him for a roster spot.
It makes me wonder whether, and I talked to him last week and Vela said, no, I want to be here. I'm happy I'm here. It makes you wonder whether him going somewhere else might be good for him too. And that's not the outcome the Bears want out of, he was the first offensive player Ryan Poles ever drafted. They used a third round pick on him and they'd like to squeeze whatever value they can out of him. But if you've decided he can't return punts and if you've decided he can't return kicks, then what is he? But I mean, you've already got Travis Homer. Travis Homer can do that. You've already got Roshan Johnson. Roshan Johnson can do that. I mean, you've got Tyler Scott, a perfectly serviceable wide receiver who is standing on the sidelines because, no, you need some special teams help. I think it'd be sad because, as you said, we both like him. But, boy, it might be best for everybody.
I also see it as not this huge failure for the Bears if he doesn't work out. We already sit here and say that, that draft pick didn't work out.
Right.
Velus Jones third round. But then I'd ask you, do you think Ryan Poles is pretty good in the draft?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's okay. You can't bat it. You don't have to bat 1,000. You can't bat 1,000.
Ryan Poles signed PJ Walker, decided within a matter of months that he wasn't good enough to be the second stringer and let him go. Ryan Poles traded for Chase Claypool, gave up a lot of stuff, wound up being Joey Porter Jr. And then decided that he was enough of a pain in the rear end that he had to go. Ryan Poles is somebody who I think one of his biggest strengths is that he can admit defeat and move on. You wonder whether today was the last straw with that. Jason, before we go, anything else grab you that's not related to the quarterback?
Yeah, well, no. It's quarterback related.
Okay.
Let's look at the Bears' upcoming games here. They're at Houston mm-hmm. on Sunday Night Football coming up.
Yeah,
then they're at the Colts.
Then they're home for the Rams.
Home against the Rams, home against the Panthers. If you just take those four games and I tell you Caleb Williams is going to be working through some things during that time, hopefully not this.
Right.
Hopefully not 14 for 29, 93 yards. Do mm-hmm. I have the line correct? Is that it? Ugh. 55 pass rating. Hopefully it's more along the lines of like 100, 150 to 200 yards passing and we're figuring it out. If he's still figuring it out, those four games, what can the Bears realistically do in those four games?
Split?
Yeah.
Probably. I mean, going to Houston's going to be tough. Going to Indianapolis is going to be tough.
Not as tough,
but hard. The Rams, we'll see what the Rams do as you and I sit here right now. They're getting ready to play
their opener.
I'm sorry, the Rams against the Lions. And then you've got the Panthers here. The Panthers lost by, I believe the score was 11 billion to 4 today. So the Panthers are a sure thing. And then if you can take one of the three, I think those are all pretty good wins. I mean, I think all three of those teams could be playoff teams by the end of the season. If you could steal one, that would have you at 2-2 going in to the London game against the Jaguars.
3-2.
Yeah, 3-2 going in. And I think that'd be okay. The Bears could then go into the bye week no worse than a 500 team. And that's the kind of middle-of-the-roadness that most teams take for granted, but that the Chicago Bears haven't really been able to achieve lately.
And that would be okay with, again, the caveat of things are on their way up.
Yeah, they're going to be...
Which is the main takeaway from today.
Right.
Is that it's not always going to look like this.
No.
And things are on their way up. And the more Caleb Williams does, the less they will be reliant on all these other things. And it'll become more a situation of, if they get all those other things, look out.
I think the Titans, I'm sure when the schedule came out, went, oh, we get to play them in week one? Hell yes. I mean, week 12 is going to be a different story. Week 16 is going to be a much different story. And I think as long as you've got a defense that, you know, we haven't talked about it a ton, but his defense is pretty good, I think, today, and will be pretty good going forward. And it'll travel, as they say. It'll go with them on road games, and it'll be able to go international with them. And if that defense keeps doing what it's doing, you know, Caleb doesn't have to be – he doesn't have to go from this, whatever grade we give this, an F or a D, I guess. He doesn't have to go from this to an A-. He can go from this to a B-, and they're still going to be winning games. And I think that if I were a Bears fan, would be a pretty exciting thing right now. Jason, that'll do it. From here, we will be back later in the week to start breaking down Bears v. Texans on Sunday night. Until then, you can follow Mark Potash and Jason and myself on social media. Check us out on the Sun-Times website and in print. And like, rate, and review the show. For Jason Leisure, I'm Patrick Finley. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back again soon.